Hello everyone, welcome to Chan Podcast. Here is where you learn about meditation and Chan. So, what is Chan? Chan, spelled as C-H-A-N, is the Chinese school of Mahayana Buddhism and is the originating tradition of Japanese Zen. We encourage you to learn and practice meditation with a group. If you'd like to, feel free to visit our website londonchanmeditation.org.
Good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? Okay. It is because you are good. Your practice is good. Practice with everybody in the group is good. Okay, so, tonight my talk it's on taking refuge. Taking refuge is, it is a question that was raised some time ago. There are two other questions. I don't think I will have enough time to cover the other two. One of them said itself is actually is a whole talk, probably will take about an hour. Well, okay, so taking refuge. What is taking refuge? When to take refuges and why we need to take refuges? When we are born, when we were born into the world, home is the place that provide us shelter, food, care, and protection. All these basics that we need to grow up. When we're sick or tired, we want to go home. We want to go have a rest and recuperate. When we feel sad, insecure, we want to stay home, finding comfort and security. Home is where is the place where we find safety, comfort, sustenance, care, love, where we cultivate a sense of a belonging and develop ownership. What consists of a home? Lodging, kitchenette, or perhaps yours is cafe or restaurant. Always somebody serve the food, you eat the food, eat your meal. Your own space provides you the environment that you have a certain control over it, how you would like it to be. But all these, lodging, restaurant, your own space, all of these, we can get it somewhere else too, right? A hotel, a rented place, your friend's house, a vacation home, a vacation house. Or perhaps you will want to add to that, people in the home, in the house, are also indispensable to form a home. People like partner, parents, children, siblings, or extended families. But in fact, we may not live with all these people throughout our life. We're just living together for certain periods of our life. Like your parents, I don't know when you left your parents' house. In the North America, in the past, probably around go to college or some even high school and left their parents' house. Nowadays, people get to their 20s, late 20s, or even early 30s, still living with their parents in the same house. I don't know how much interactions or communications that you keep going with your parents or your siblings. Partner, yes. You know, but not throughout your life. One of these days, you'll be living alone by yourself. Whichever, willingly or unwillingly. Your children living with you, 15 years, 20, 25, 30 years at most. So either they leave or they die before you. We, every one of us, inevitably will live alone. At that time, can we still call our dwelling a home? Only ourselves and no one else. So we know it is not entirely about the lodging or who else are living in the house with us. So what is the home? The home is the place that we belong to, feel safe, accepted, stay as long as we would like, in peace and at ease. It is also where we can get sustenance for energy. Physically, mental, and spiritual growth. If it's a home, the so-called home, only provide the lodging, the eateries, or your bed, or even some other human beings sharing the same space under the roof with you, you feel something lacking there. In the three jewels or triple gem, Sanskrit is called Triratna. The three jewels guide us to find our true home. Before finding the true home and finally arriving at our true home, the three jewels provide us a true refuge in the world. Provide us the home in the midway. On the right path and leading us to our destination, our true home. And that true home, seeing our self nature, the Buddha nature. The three jewels also set up the right path, indicate the right direction, lay out the path for us to arrive at our true home. So what the three jewels are? In a conventional sense, the three jewels are the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. These are all Sanskrit. Buddha meaning the awakened. In a historical account, the Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, meaning the sage of the Shaka clan. And his name was Siddhartha Gautama. He was born a prince in India. And one day he left home in the middle of the night, wanting to find the truth and seeking solutions to end the suffering of all human beings. After being completely engaged in the practice, astute, gone through the hardships in 6 years. And then he realized there's something else above this practice. So he left his teachers and finally settled down and sat under the trees. At that night, he had a full awakening to the truth, become completely awakened. The Buddha, the words mean enlightenment, awakening. And Dharma is the truth that a Buddha realized when he become awakened. And then he passed his, share the teachings and deliver the teachings to his students, the teaching of wisdom. And so his students can learn and practice and also be able to become awakened just like him. The Sangha, traditionally in India's and Buddha's time, refers to the community of monks and nuns, monastic, who observes celibacy, precepts. It is a harmonious community, not just observing celibacy and all the vinayas, the precepts. They're committed to live in purity, to engage in the practice wholeheartedly throughout their life. So they'll become free from defilements, delusions, So that's the Buddha and Dharma and Sangha in a conventional sense. Then the contemporary sense, the Buddha, we don't get to see the Buddha now, you know, after his passing 2,600 years ago. And the Buddha, what we see is a statue made of wood or bronze statue, like the one we had at the art center in Richmond, or perhaps it's a jade sculpture or a painting of Buddha's image. And this image, this Buddha's image, is very interesting. It's modified in accordance with local culture. I have seen the Buddha statue in the museum, perhaps in Seattle, another big museum, a small size museum. The Buddha, the image they have, the sculptures, it's a half Western. The facials, features are Western people. It's from Asia. And the Dharma, aren't we lucky? The Dharma is Tripitaka, consists of sutras, the words that the Buddha says, the Vinaya, the precepts, the guidelines that his students follows. And the sastras. Sastras is the discourses and, you know, that the students, that his students and later masters expound the teaching further. Nowadays, all this Dharma, not only comes in printed forms, paperback, hardcover, but also in electronic version, online version. And you can store it in your computer, in the cloud storage, and very easily accessible. In the past, you need to have a big, big room to store all the books, the Buddhist book. But nowadays, you need only a desktop, a laptop, or even a cell phone, or for iPhone. Quickly, you can access, look up all the information. You can have the Tripitaka accessible in seconds. And the Sangha. Nowadays, the Sangha consists of monks, monastic members, monks and nuns, and also laymen and women. So not only monastic can be teachers, teach Buddhism. Also, we have many very, very good lay teachers, men and women. In the past, Buddhism is not easily accessible to the general public. Only a small portion of the people has the time and privilege and knowledge and the environment and access to Buddha's teaching and practice. And be able, they don't have to worry about their livelihood. They have all the time and money to devote it into the teachings, engage in the practice. But the world has changed tremendously since Buddha's time. Although now Buddhism no longer is a privilege, becomes very, very popular, accessible to everyone. And all people have the opportunity to learn and practice Buddha Dharma if they wish. But however, the monastic communities are very important, essential to the long-lasting, sustainable teachings of in Buddhism. However, we found that it is much, much harder and challenging for monastic communities to thrive in modern world, because it's so hard to find young people wanting to become monastics, probably because there are too many interesting things attracts their attention. They found there are way too many things interesting, challenging, full of fun. It's hard for them to live in a much simpler life, that they need to observe rules and guidelines. And we also find that younger generation have more difficulty to adapt to a monastic living. So the monastic communities face more and more challenges. Also at the same time, monastics, because of the need to teach, to travel, and to share the teachings, to have more interactions with lay communities, they will need to be supported and protected. For example, like me, a nun, I often need to travel, although now I can't travel. But prior to the pandemic, and also hopefully things will be getting back to normal, I would need to travel. But it would be better that now not to travel alone. So usually it would be ideal to have two nuns travel together. In Taiwan, our Sangha community, there's no problem. Nuns can always travel with another nun. But here in the North America, now in Vancouver, that we also need to take care of the Toronto and Seattle centers. We only have four nuns. It is hard to dispense or have another nun to travel with me. So these are the challenges. More difficult situations that we face. So to preserve the transmission of Buddha Dharma to future generations, the survival and the sustainability of monastic communities in the West is very, very important and essential. Okay. Buddhism will not be able to sustain or thrive without the existence and establishment of monastic communities. And then the ultimate level from conventional to contemporary and the ultimate level. The Buddha and Dharma and the Sangha, how does that relate to us? In the ultimate level, the Buddha, meaning for every one of us, to realize, to see the Buddha within every one of us, to see our true nature, attain full awakening. Every one of us possess the Buddha nature, the potential to be calm, fully awakened. Just like the Shakyamuni Buddha, that's why he was born into the world, to tell us the truth. And the Dharma is the teachings he left for us and showing us the way how to get there. In the Dharma, in an ultimate level, ultimate sense, meaning wisdom, manifests from our true nature that can respond spontaneously, most appropriately, in accordance with others' needs. According to the person's needs, in accordance with the situations, that person's capacity, right timing, right place, and right approach. That is the wisdom, manifest spontaneously. And the Sangha, meaning taming all the various wild and vicious animals within ourselves. Not just one monkey here, one tiger, one lion, one elephant there and there. Many more. And attaining true peace and harmony within ourselves. And to become freed of all the vexations. And be able to render compassion for ourselves and others. So that's the meaning and spirit of taking three refuges. The next question is when to take the refuges? When we are willing to explore the path leading to our true home. So we will no longer be lost in fear or in affliction. It is the time for us to take the three refuges. Start to engage in the path and become free. And this journey, once after we take the refuges, this journey will take us from knowing and learning the three jewels from the conventional sense, contemporary level, to eventually the ultimate level. You may say, well, I can still study the Buddha Dharma and practice, you know, just all the approaches, but do I still need to take the three refuges? What do you think? When you want to learn something, learn martial arts, do you want to go to a teacher? Do you want to go to a center that you can learn formally? Or just want to, you know, peek from outside and just check what they're doing and imitating what they're doing? Or when you really want to learn something well, I mean, you become a student, right? You go to the school, you register, and you start taking credit, fully committed, you know, sitting in the classroom as a student, you know, listen well, do your homework, and take the exam. Or just be, you know, auditing in the class, or, you know, and just checking online. I don't know now, I don't know whether you have taken any online courses nowadays. If you have done so, and you may see the difference when you actually register for the class, for the course, and pay for fees, then you will just watch it free online. Your dedication, your time, your effort would not be the same. Your commitment is different. And that affects what you actually receive in the end, or what you will be in the end. And also, when you become interested, you want to learn more, find out more about Buddhism. Okay, Buddhism is not an information or knowledge, perhaps better, more systematic. But if it is just information or knowledge, it just remain in your brain at this level, only here. Okay. You don't learn the Buddha Dharma by putting in a storage. And once in a while, you just look it up. You want to engage in the practice. So you can transform. You become better. You become freed of your vexations. You have more wisdom. That requires the engagement in the practice. And then, by practicing, by learning the Buddha Dharma, it gives you a sense of a clear direction, a sense of groundedness, a sense of being belonged to, a sense of ownership, a sense of a community with guidance and support. Or simply could be, you know, where you feel you're ready. That's fine too. So what would actually happen, what you will be doing when you take the three refuges? Of course, take the refuges of the Buddha, take the refuges of the Dharma, take refuges of the Sangha. These are the three lines, three sentences that you will say. And normally, we'll also take the four great vows and five precepts. The four great vows are vow to deliver, help all sentient beings, vow to cut off vexations, vow to master limitless approaches to Dharma, mastering the Dharma, all approaches, vow to attain the Buddhahood. These are the four essential approaches to attain the Buddhahood. Everyone has to fulfill this four vows or four goals. And the five precepts is not to kill, not to lie, not to steal, not to engage in sexual misconduct that cause harm to yourself and other people, not to indulge or take intoxicants or addictive drugs. And the purpose is not to harm yourself and others. To free yourself from the consequences of committed wrongdoings, evil karmas. That's the spirit of five precepts. To free yourself from the consequences of evil conducts. To even better, to uproot the seeds of evil conducts. So this is what is about taking refuges, why we want to take refuges, and what is involved in taking refuges, and when to take refuges. Any questions? Well, the way we hold taking three refuges often occurs at the end of extended 7-day retreat in the very last day after 6 or 7 days practice. Our mind, our body are in the most ideal condition to receive the three refuges. Mind is the body is completely settled. Mind is opened because we observe noble silence. So our thoughts are also settled and pure, not doing anything wrong, not saying the wrong evil saying or words. So our body and mind are in the best ideal condition to receive the three refuges. That's what we will normally do at the end of the 7-day retreats, any longer retreats than 7 days. And we also hold a special ceremony for taking three refuges. A whole group of peoples, they want to take refuges, then we select a day to host the event, to host the ceremony. So since last year, in this pandemic, I think we have held three events of taking the three refuges. They were actually practitioners from the East Coast, Toronto, and there were also people from Europe. Right now, we still have I think one or two express their wishes to take refuges. I'm just waiting to see whether there will be others who also want to take refuges. So we will hold that event. So the day hasn't been set yet. Any questions about taking refuges?